Hello, Cryptonauts, and welcome back to another episode of Cryptocurrency Chat. I'm your host, Jake Jabberoli, with my co-host, Blockchain John, here on Wednesday, June 28th, for, interestingly enough, episode 528, not 628, but 528, so 28th with 528th. And we're starting here with Pacific Bitcoin, but before we do that, I'm going to make a little comment. We're planning on changing the format of this podcast, and we're going to introduce you guys kind of to the format change today. We're still going to have intros, but we're going to do less news. We want to be a little bit more specific to news stories than just text on a screen. So we know you guys don't really like watching text scroll up against the screen. You know, you could watch that if you wanted to on your own. So we're going to change it up and make it a little bit better. But before we get to that, let's just talk about Pacific Bitcoin and the Bitcoin conference next year. John?
Pacific Bitcoin coming October 5th and 6th, 2023 in Los Angeles, California. Check it out. Get your tickets right now. Your tickets are available for approximately $550 for the general admission and for the VIP, $2,800. That is all things Bitcoin and only Bitcoin. Please come prepare to speak Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Right, second, there's a bunch of speakers there as well. All right, check that out. Head on over to PacificBitcoin.com. All right, second link, we have Bitcoin 2024 in Nashville, July 25th through 27th, 2024. You can buy your tickets as well in advance. For $299 for general admission and $749 for the industrial pass and the $4,500 for the whale pass. Once again, this is pretty much Bitcoin Miami, but they're moving it over to Nashville this year or next year.
Coming up next year, yeah.
They're tinkering with new places.
So
it's massive. It's a huge place. Check that out. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the everything. That's the everything crypto. Yeah, but the Pacific Bitcoin is Bitcoin only, whereas the ironically the Bitcoin conference, the original one that was in Miami, is kind of the everything coin conference, even though it's called Bitcoin 2024. So, anyways, yeah, two big conferences coming up, one in October of this year, and then the following was they just got done with Bitcoin 2023, so 2024 will be next year at the end of July. So about a year plus off.
And there was a lot of speakers. I don't know if you guys head on over to the Bitcoin Magazine, you guys can check out on YouTube all their talks. Really good stuff, high quality stuff. I really liked it.
Yep. Yeah, you can get remote access to some degree, but it's not the same as being there. We know, having been to Blockchain Expo twice now. Anywho, so yeah, let's get on to the news. News. We're talking with Damas, right? Was that the first one?
Yeah. Service Damas gets booted for Apple Store. Wah, wah, wah. Wait, hold on a second.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, say you can actually play the sad trombone.
I'm so used to doing my own sounds.
Right. Well, you don't have here. A soundboard built into your body, right?
Yeah, so Damas, if you guys don't know, is like it's a relay for the Nostra protocol, and people communicate like sort of like Twitter, like for now, that's what Damas is. And so it was added to the Apple App Store, and what people have been doing, it's pretty cool. People have actually been tipping each other in Satoshis, which they call Zaps.
Zaps.
So you can post something, you post an image, post, I don't know if you can do, maybe you can do videos. Yeah, I think you can do videos now. Or text, whatever's really good. Some people post really good content. And so if me as a person just browsing through stuff and happen to find this content really, really good, I'll send them a zap. A few Satoshis here, 5, 10, 20, 30 Satoshis. That's what's really great about the Lightning Network is that you can literally zap one Satoshi if you want.
Exactly.
And so that's what people have been doing, have been zapping. But Apple doesn't like that because they're not getting the 30% cut. What? So they're going to boot Damas out of the Apple App Store.
But why? What did Damas do before this? I mean, Damas literally tried to do something for Apple, right?
Well, they tried. So basically, they were gonna get Apple was gonna ban Damas
earlier, yeah.
And Damas says, you know what? We'll fix whatever issues you have.
Yeah.
And they can't technically change
the network,
the way Zappin works,
right?
Because that's what the big problem is. Zappin, Apple wants that part of the part of that.
They want the 30% cut of every single charge. They know they'd be making big bucks off of it. So
yeah. So what Domus did what Domus did was they wanted to stay in compliance, right? So what they did was what did they do? Hold on, let me read this again. Bitcoiners text leader, whatever tips are unlocking content. He said, okay. Removed from the App Store from enabling tipping from everyone in the world without the need for bank payments. Okay. Apples must be stopped. Ooh.
I don't recall what's in this article, but you'd said pre-show that they tried to meet up with Apple's demands to try to make it work.
So I think so. What Domus did was so they received a email or a letter. Basically, saying that they're gonna remove Apple was gonna remove Domus, and so Domus tweeted out, and you guys can check their tweets saying that, you know what, we'll fix it, don't worry about it. So they responded. I'm sure that Domus went to some lawyers and looked at stuff, and they responded with a proper response, and fixed on their end. And I think the only thing that they were able to fix was the perception of how the network works or how their app works.
Right.
It's not. Don't go to Domus with the assumption that you're going to make money or you're buying third-party items, because you're not. So they had to rewrite their, descriptions and rewrite the way Domus
and worked. And presented to Apple.
For Apple. But that still was not good enough, because Zaps is still a thing. That's the primary issue that Apple has. They want that 30%, buddy.
And per the comment that I made in the pre-show was that, you know, it's the same thing Epic Games, the makers of Fortnite, were having with Apple, is like they just don't want Apple to take this gargantuan chunk off the top. Now, at the same time, you can just raise the price of your product to, you know, not in the case of Domus, but in most things. Like if it costs, you know, $10 for, you know, the app, then just make it 13, and then that will take care of Apple's fee. But if you're doing in-app, you know, transactions like Domus is doing here, then you can't, unfortunately, because the network just doesn't allow for a 30% cut anywhere. It would be Domus footing the bill for every single transaction. I don't think Domus could afford that, because they're not taking hardly anything of a cut. They're taking, you know, are they even taking a cut at all? I don't think they are.
No, I don't think they are.
So they're not making anything off all this transaction stuff. They're just making this tool available to the market.
Yeah.
And so they're not getting anything out of the Zaps. They're not getting anything out of people, you know, loading Lightning into their wallet to use for this purpose. They're just providing an app.
All Domus wants to do is just provide the
Tool
to people that are using Apple products.
Exactly. Yeah. They're providing a tool for people to access this kind of functionality, and they can't accommodate Apple's requirements, so Apple's booting them off of the Play Store, which is unfortunate, because unless you unlock your iPhone, you can't even use off App Store apps, can you? I mean, I know with Android you can use non Play Store apps just by sideloading. You don't have to unlock your phone or you know, jailbreak or something. But I was in the impression that you can't use non-App Store apps on an iPhone without, you know, if it's not in the App Store, you ain't using it. And on top of that, how does anybody know you even have it? So
I don't have an Apple phone, but I did hear something like that. Yeah.
I mean, comments, we appreciate it. If you know different, we're definitely not iPhone users.
Just to wrap this one up, there's no way that Domus can fulfill that 30%, because it's peer-to-peer. That's what Lightning is. It's peer-to-peer. And Domus isn't taking a cut of that.
Yeah.
Unless they ended up hosting their own node, but they're not.
But the whole point of this is to not do that. So,
the Nostra relay.
Yeah, that's not the idea. So, anyways, let's get on to a slight bit of a pivot to a concept that's also Lightning-related. Meet Nodeless, the non-KYC Bitcoin Lightning processor Jack Dorsey tweeted about, if you saw his tweet recently. Nodeless.io. It's just a very simple tweet from Mr. Dorsey on his Twitter account saying literally just Nodeless.io. That's just a link. He's promoting it, obviously.
6 days ago.
It's great to see him.
So what's interesting about Nodeless is that it says right in the title, non-KYC Bitcoin Lightning processor.
Yes.
With other apps right now that you download, for example, if you go to Cash App, that's all. It is Lightning, but you also have to KYC through them. That's the problem that I guess they're trying to solve, is that why do you need a KYC to use Lightning? You know, the only way to be non-KYC is to have your own Lightning node.
And your own node.
Now, the masses doesn't either, one, have the resources or the time or the knowledge to host their own Lightning node. And so Nodeless is coming through saying, hey, we have this figured out. You guys can use our tool, and the transactions will be processed through here. So from what I read, it looks like just like pretty much every Lightning node, if you want to get started, you have to merge from main chain Bitcoin to Lightning sidechain, and you got to move those coins over to unlock your Lightning wallet, right? So in that process, they're gonna Nodeless is gonna hold on to your Bitcoin momentarily while that transaction goes through. So they are playing an intermediary, so it is sort of custodian for the time being. But there is a lot of commotion, a lot of developers on the back end. Aside from OpenNode, that has been in talks, developing ways to make Lightning a lot easier for the masses to use. Because again, as I mentioned, hosting your own Lightning node is not the easiest for the general masses to do.
Yeah, for most people, yeah.
And so that's been in work. So I would consider Nodeless like the first iteration of what's to come in the near future. And I say the near future, we're talking about the next 1 to 2 years of what Lightning's going to be. There's a lot of development going on Lightning right now. One of the biggest ones, just make it easier.
Yep.
Make it easier.
Yeah, make it more accessible to everyone. Right now, Lightning, especially if we're going into CBDC world, you know, where governments are getting into CBDCs. And if you want to be able to keep your coin safe to yourself, you know, accessible only to you and keeping it, as we say, not your keys, not your crypto. Mm-hmm. CBDCs will be very common, or likely, not just in the United States. Heck, on July 1st, the new format FedNow is going into effect. So as that relates, the point herein is, it's nice to be able to send, like when we were a primarily cash society, when people were actually using that green folding paper and the coins that the United States or the Americans tend to use, you could do with it as you please, right? And then they went to, oh, well, if you put all your cash in this bank thing, which is central, you can, you know, we'll pay the other person for you using it like a paper check, a promissory note that would, you know, say, oh, well, we'll give you the money at some future point. But the whole problem with that is it gets away from you controlling your money. And yes, there are ways of doing it, like credit cards or debit cards, but they still hold your money, which means the government can shut it down at any time. There is no real definitive way until crypto where you could hold your cash and send it to whomever you wanted. And that's the advantage of what Nodeless is trying to do here, is to make Lightning more accessible to everyone so that they can hold their own coin instead of giving it to a bank. So if that's not clear as to what crypto is, here's your wake-up call. This is crypto. Hold your own money. Send it to whomever you like through the internet. Don't trust it to a bank or the government. I know that should be obvious by now, but Lightning is just a really fast Bitcoin method, and that's what Nodeless will do. So, moving on to a flaming ass.
Yeah, this guy, the biggest cojones in the world right here, man. SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, straight up went to the judge, says, "Hey, Your Honor, I just gotta tell you something. You know, I think you should, for reals, no joke, bro, drop those charges on me. You know, because I'm somebody. You know, I'm somebody. Hey, what you think, Judge?" And of course, Your Honor says, "Yeah, right. You're a joke. Get out of here." Smack. Actually, this is what the judge did right here. This
is Sparta! Well, sort of. He didn't judge him that way exactly and kick him into a pit, but yeah, so, I mean, he's basically asking to dismiss all the criminal charges over FTX, and the judge is like, no, we're going to trial. Sorry, dude. $30 billion is a lot of money, and at least had all the money in your back pocket, even if you repaid everybody, you're still going to go to trial. And that's the thing that's so funny. It's like what they say, even attempted murder is still illegal. So even if you didn't actually steal anyone's money and tried to steal someone's money and got caught, that's still illegal. But the fact is, he did steal the money, and even if he'd able to give it all back, it's the act of theft. Now, of course, if every single person that he stole money from had all individually said, yes, we all forgive you, and we're not going to press charges, maybe it would work. But the biggest problem is that people were injured. People were monetarily injured. It's not like even just stole their money. Issues, things happened that cost more money on top of the fact that he stole this money. So if he could make everybody right, and they all let him be free, the judge might be more lenient. Like, might say, okay, well, just slap on the wrist, fine, you know, 30 days of community service kind of thing. But this is just too big. It's just too big. It's too much, too many people involved. So
basically, this man right now has about 90 days to figure out what he's going to do for the rest of his life in prison. Because that's when his next, that's when his trial is.
Yeah.
In the second. Gotta figure it out, buddy. Figure it out, man.
Oh, I remember. We talked about it before the show, and I was trying to remember what it was that was the other article related to what Sam had done, and that was that they found out that he had mixed, that they wasn't just an alleged action, but that he basically, all the money that was in Alameda Research and all the money that was in FTX had been completely intermixed. There was actually no distinction between one set of funds and the other set, and the fact that this was true within FTX was probably one of the more damning factors in his case. Obviously, it hasn't started yet, but through discovery, they realized that all the money was basically just both companies were the same money. There was no definitive distinction between the money in one place versus the money in the other. And Sam and his team treated it that way. So it's like, dude, you can't call this a research, Alameda Research is a fund and the other thing is a company if it's the same money.
An article that we actually excluded, but now I kind of want to bring back in because for what this article is reminding me of, it is Prime Trust. So Prime Trust, whatever happened, dude, like they actually lost their private keys, and that's why they're actually missing a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, a lot worse than this. With FTX, at least those coins are there, distributed around. But with Prime Trust, those keys are lost. They can't figure out what happened to the keys.
Yep.
And that's why they're going belly up.
Yep. Yeah, they literally lost the money instead of someone stealing it. So it is sad when it's how do I put it exactly? When the money is fast, really fast, and the actions are hard and fast, and everything's just like money, 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 making it rain, whatever. People get stupid. They get really stupid because they think they're invincible. The only example I can think of is the guy that the CEO of WeWork. He got so drunk on power and money that he started talking about the Fountain of Youth. And this has happened before. People who get money too quickly start thinking they're invincible and start talking about, like, we're going to make the Fountain of Youth. It's like, dude, you're a work rental space company. Why are we talking about the Fountain of Youth? It's because he was going crazy with the power and money that he was making. Because I think at that time, WeWork was worth like $60 or $70 billion, because SoftBank came in and bought him. I know this is off topic, but the point I'm trying to make is Sam Bankman-Fried thought he was the big cheese. He was the man. He was the everything, and he still thinks he is, and he's not. So
it would not surprise me if the judgment is that he, at the time, was mentally unstable and did not know what he was doing. All charges dropped. That is my prediction of what's about to happen.
I don't think so. I think that enough of the people in the company... I don't think that's going to happen.
Anyway, yeah. You didn't get what you wanted. Sorry, buddy.
Let's move on to which countries have the best crypto tax laws? So we've been talking about the MiCA, right?
And
MiCA. Mm-hmm. It's been happening in Europe. And we also talked about the discussions in the Middle East that have been going on. And a lot of countries, obviously El Salvador and another one. India is talking about doing this. I think they already started their CBDC. But a lot of non-American countries have been spending a lot of time actually trying to develop the concept of crypto into something useful and actually setting out regulations regarding it. And like I said, MiCA in the European Union, MiCA, has already been enacted, or is it enacted or at least voted upon? They're moving forward, but the U.S. is still stuck here in la-la land where we think that everything is a security and every company needs to be sued. So, in any case,
It's like a dog seeing a squirrel run across the road. Security! That's a security! That's a security! Yeah. More securities! They're running everywhere! Security!
Oh my gosh, security's everywhere!
Come on, Uncle Sam, quit being a dog.
Yeah, well, not just that, but it's that's more of a distraction factor, I think. I guess it could be an accurate way of putting it, because it seems like the SEC is just going after everybody to just knock them down. Not because there's any rules in place. They don't seem to want to actually say that. What they've been saying all along is, well, we wrote these rules for fiat, so they must work for crypto. And all the crypto companies are like, no, the whole point of crypto is to not be fiat. We need to address it differently, and you refuse to do that, so you're suing us based on this old thought, this almost 100-year-old concept of what money is. And crypto has literally been invented to evade the rules set down over the last 90 years in fiat. So, sorry.
Hashtag fired Gary Gensler.
Yeah, it's sad because the man used to be very pro-crypto before he got into politics.
ever since the revelation that I discovered that the SEC can pretty much sue any company without paying any fees or have any backlash against them if they lose the case. That's what's so upsetting. Why is that illegal? Why is that legal, should I say? Why is that legal?
It's the government. It's the government.
The SEC can just pretty much just...
Yeah.
Just sue everybody.
It's the federal government.
To the point of them going bankrupt.
That's
stupid. That should be illegal.
It is still possible to fight the government in court and win, because it's more like it's not necessarily the court of public opinion. It's the court of.
But you'll go bankrupt. That's the.
That's
thing
exactly
that
why most people don't fight.
Who cares if you win? It doesn't matter if you win if you don't have no money for your company or your employees.
Assuming you're making enough in the short run to actually deal with it. Obviously, Library couldn't, and the nice thing was that the SEC was kind enough to drop the fines. They just, you know, charged them the legal fees and not all the fines. So Library didn't have to go belly up, which was a nice thing to do. But anyways, this article basically is trying to say, we already know that the U.S. is terrible for, even though, actually, no, it's, we don't know where Satoshi came from, even though Craig, what's his name, claims it's him, and he's from Australia. Someone knows, but I don't know if anyone is going to admit who Satoshi Nakamoto actually was, the person who made the original post and, you know, generated the concept. But it would seem, at least in my opinion, I could be wrong, that it was a Western idea. Like I said before, Milton Friedman, I've talked about before, he's the father of modern economics, had talked about the concept of a electronic coin as far back as the early 1970s. And his whole thing was to get away from what the industry had been doing to fiat for the last 100 years. And so he was imagining an electronic coin that could get outside of the federal government, because the government, as he said, wasn't fixing anything. It was just making things harder. And Bitcoin did.
Didn't you argue the whole Satoshi thing that... you know, with the Genesis block were, it's a news article about the European Parliament talking about bailing out the banks.
Okay. I don't know if I know where that is, but
it's literally a Genesis block.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. On the Genesis block. Yes, I remember you saying that. The point I was trying to make to roll it back in, I'm not saying you're wrong about what you're saying, but is that any other country for right now, other than the United States, is going to be mostly better than the United States on crypto.
Real quick. The Times, the 3rd of January 2009, Chancellor on brink of second bailout for banks.
Right.
That is etched into the Genesis block, the first block that went out.
Yep. Well, they're trying to make a statement, and they definitely have made a statement.
Mm-hmm. So. And that is coming from Europe, yeah?
Well, the original commentary, yeah, the article, yes. So, anyways, countries like El Salvador and the Bahamas, Bulgaria, Hong Kong, there's all these different places where you can go for better crypto regulation. Even Canada has an ETF, right? A Bitcoin ETF. You can trade in Canada if you live in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, unfortunately, the United States is not the place. I know we're broadcasting from the United States, and California in particular is a lot more lenient with cryptocurrency in general. But it's the Fed we're mostly worried about. The Fed's suing everybody out of existence to try to get them to comply with ancient laws. And I suspect that behind this isn't just the Fed. Obviously, the one thing that we know about the United States is that the more money you have, the more say you tend to have in government, because lobbying seems to mean something here. So people with lots of money, particularly people in oil and traditional financial institutions, are like, hey, we're more important than everything else. You need to stop this, Mr. Gensler. You need to stop this crypto thing. So, I mean, that's speculative. I don't know that for a fact, but I've seen it. Been conscious of the finance industry for over 20 years. A little bit more aware of it than most. All right.
If you guys want some more information in regards to this article, if you guys just want to look at the data yourself, it's actually free. You can head over to coincub.com. I'm looking at it right now. There's a link there on the news article, and all the information's there. You can see from the crypto banking 2023, crypto tax, blockchain jobs, VASP registration 2023. A lot of information's here. Global crypto ranking, quarterly top five evolution, July, April, February. There, it's all there, man. Check it all out. It's free. CoinCub.com.
Yep. CoinCub definitely has a lot of tax information about coins and which country is a little bit more friendly toward cryptocurrency than the U.S. Anywho, all right. So the big NFT news. Azuki.
Azuki NFT floor plummets as collector blasts identical elementals art.
This is not cool.
No. Actually, here we go. Where's that? Oh, hell no! Azuki, what did you do? Well, apparently people have found out real quick that these Azuki NFT drops that came out. This is the second edition. And Azuki makes really good art, but this new drop that came out, people are like, hey, they're kind of sus about this because they're pretty much identical to the first iterations that came out. And that kind of pissed a lot of people off when you're spending thousands of dollars for these mints. And then you start to look a little closer. You go, wait a minute. Hold on. This looks very similar. Literally, look at this. Look at this. If you go down, scroll down to the tweet there, Jake. Look at that. The one from Wizard of Soho.
Yeah, I was already there.
Literally crazy. The guy with the pink hair?
Yep.
That's crazy.
What the F? What? I am so like, much why? Money, why? Man. Fuck. Yeah. It's not that different. I mean, yes, it is a slightly different drawing. I mean, the eyes are different. The hair is different. The shoulders are different. So, I mean, could it be a redraw? Or is it just you know, it's not enough. She gave her earrings and they put a bow in her hair. It's like, what?
And so basically what Azuki did, and what a lot of people are saying, is like basically Azuki just rugged Azuki.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the whole Azuki market's going down. A lot of people are dumping their stuff for like 30% down. And that's, I honestly think that's only temporary because this is still unique art, regardless if it's very similar to the first iterations. I'm sure that they're going to be coming out with a lot more different variations of these amazing artworks. Let's not that away, man. That's they do create some amazing artwork.
Yes.
But yeah, check this stuff out.
So yeah, it's sad,
but a lot of people are talking a lot of trash.
Yes.
Like right here, look at this. Azuki stole their own artwork. WTF jokes. Yeah. Let's see, more quotes here. Charlotte Fang, co-founder of the My Lady Maker NFT project, called the Azuki Elemental artwork basically identical to that of the original collection. Blue chip backholders in disbelief, she added. Yeah. I mean, seriously, you're paying thousands of dollars. If it's only a couple bucks, whatever. It's slight difference. But you're paying thousands and thousands of dollars, like, dude. And then the market drops down 30%. It's like, oh, no.
You just lost the value, right? I mean, I'm...
Yeah.
The only NFT... Well, I shouldn't say
everybody
that.
I
have purchased a lot of NFTs on
everybody
Raven.
Everybody that bought these drops, they're just hurting so bad.
Yep. Exactly.
That's how they're feeling right now.
Exactly. I have purchased a lot myself on Raven. I haven't purchased any art on Ethereum. But on Raven and on Avalanche and on Polygon. Actually, not a lot on Polygon, a couple. But also on Phonium. The phone, F-O-N-E.
Yeah.
I have a lot of art that I bought there because it's so cheap.
I haven't found anything really affordable. But then again, you actually put some, you dump some fiat into there, right? Because I haven't done that, so I don't really have that much.
I've been buying Phonium for a while just because I like the network. I realize it's kind of a phony, no pun intended, but a fake network. It's not really. And the reason I know this is because. The value of one, it's like the, how is it? They base their value off of fiat. They don't base their value off of their own coin, which is sad. But, yeah, it's just a money grab. But I like Phonium. I've always liked it. I thought it was a neat app from the beginning. Yeah. So
their market cap hasn't moved much.
No.
It's been under, it's been hovering around like 50K.
Yeah. It's not worth a whole lot.
Phonium has been around for a long time. So to see something that has a market cap of $55,000, like, wow, that's not much at all. It's a pretty cool network.
Yeah.
I like it. I still tinker with it.
Yeah.
I haven't created my mints, but I see that it continuously keeps growing.
Yeah.
It's not catching on.
I have a significant bag of Phonium, so and I'm not going to say how much it's worth in fiat, but it's not small, and I don't know. It's like, I like Phonium the way I like Doge. I got into Doge because Doge was fun, and I got into Phonium for the exact same reason. And I think that I'm not saying people can't put in a lot of fiat value into whatever coin they like, and plenty of people have. But I don't know. It's like it's just something fun to it. So if it's not fun, why do it? If you're getting too investment heavy, that I think is the problem. So. All right, so let's hit the last news article here. Magic Eden. So Magic Eden dives deeper into Bitcoin with BRC20 tokens. What? But that's not new, right? BRC20 tokens are basically ordinals, right? And that's what kind of Magic Eden started on. Multi-chain NFT marketplace Magic Eden will support Bitcoin BRC20 tokens, including new token drops through its own launchpad.
Yeah, so BRC20 is the new iteration of what's been going on with the whole inscriptions ordinals protocol, and basically just like ERC20 tokens, you can create your own tokens, right? You burn your ETH and you create your 1 million happy coins, right? Now you can do that over on Bitcoin with BRC20 tokens. You can create your X amount of happy tokens on the BRC20 protocol. And Magic Eden is accepting BRC20 tokens. So they started off accepting first ordinals and then BRC20 tokens. And there's a lot more going on with inscriptions and ordinals. So that's actually, I don't know if they're going to be able to accept everything, but there's so much stuff going on with inscriptions. It's so insane how many different layers there are now. I lost count of how many different iterations of these things that are going on. You got BRC721s. Pretty much all the stuff that you can think of that's on Ethereum is now being forked over to Bitcoin on the Bitcoin protocol. It's mind-blowing. Yeah, it's crazy.
Somebody finally found an inroad. Somebody figured out a way of making Bitcoin act like Ethereum, almost.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, not only that, with the whole inscriptions things, you know how, remember that, like the dark inscriptions, we read that a couple of episodes back?
Yep, the ones that were negative.
Remember, what was it? I forgot what they're called exactly. I want to call them dark inscriptions, where they didn't actually have an inscription number associated with them.
Yep, I remember.
Okay. Aside from that, there's like so many different iterations of inscriptions now. It's so mind-blowing. I would have to go down the list. I don't have it in front of me because I wasn't thinking about talking about that right now. But let me see. You mentioned it. You mentioned one of them. It was It was like it's so dumb to say, but like a sponge. Forget it. I'm gonna sound real stupid if I try to get into it. I would have to go look at the tweet that I posted. And I should know this, but I just retweeted it. A couple of days ago. Anyways, so BRC20 tokens is going to be on the secondary market of Magic Eden. So if you guys haven't oh, by the way, it's pretty affordable. There's a lot of tokens that are like 5, 10, 20 cents. Buy yourself some BRC20 tokens. You can start tinkering with the whole Ordinals protocol now. Yep. And if you need a wallet, I would recommend let me see. That's a good question. Thank you for asking.
Right.
Okay. the Xverse wallet is one of them. If I can get this thing to unlock.
Yeah, we can put links in the description of as to how people can get to that stuff. But well, I mean that's YouTube. I know everyone's listening on. I'm probably gonna attach it to the Spotify broadcast, but at least now you know what it's called. So you can find it if you're looking to purchase your own BRC20 tokens.
Yeah, letter X and VERSE, Xverse.
So.
Cool.
All right, so as we said before, we didn't quite get to it today, but not this episode, but the following Wednesday, the beginning of, well, not the actual beginning, but second show, we'll be changing our format to more concentrating on content of particular, like, following storylines instead of kind of just hitting random news. We've been doing random news for a really long time. We had a previous, you know, format. We've been changing our formats here and there, but we've noticed that a lot of people tend to prefer, you know, just conversational news instead of... I hate to say it this way because I don't personally like talking heads. You know, people on like CNN or MSNBC on major news networks. I'm not particularly fond of that stuff, but I've noticed that general commentary tends to get a little bit more better interaction from people in general, and it just seems like that kind of news is more popular. And that's the kind of stuff that we like doing. That's kind of the reason we changed the format to what we're on now. We wanted it to be more along the lines of, discussion than just reading news. I mean, you can go read the news yourself, right? But sometimes people like having the news read to them, or at least some people like discussing the news topics, especially when they're controversial. So we appreciate you guys all, and we're going to be swapping this up on episode 530, so that'll be next Wednesday. I just want to thank everyone for listening to and watching and or watching our show today. You can check out our Cointree, corntr.ee/c3media, which will give you a list of literally everything you can donate to us in either cryptocurrency or fiat formats. Lightning is, of course, on there. You can also find us on Noster. We also have our pre-show and post-show content on Patreon. That is a paid service. You can get it for as little as $5 a month. Believe me, $5 is hardly anything to get all that extra content. You can see our website, which will kind of direct you to our... What is it? Interviews that we've been trying to start up again. And anything for Spotify, all the different distributions that Spotify puts out. And, of course, you can always get us on Twitch and our Discord channel, where you can interact directly with John and I, as well as all the other people that are in the channel. We've got quite a few people who have been there for quite some time. You can also collect C3 Media tokens, which actually have real-world value in certain things like NFTs. So... check that out. We really appreciate you guys. Give us a thumbs up if you like. Subscribe. And we'll be seeing you in the next one on Sunday, which will be the beginning of the second half of the year. So as we say at the end of every single show, stack sats and hodl.
And hodl.
Adios.
Adios.